Southern FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
Welcome to episode 2 of our space show documentary, Cosmos. The television series Cosmos began on 1980, September the 28th. In 13 weekly episodes, narrated by Carl Sagan, it told a wide-ranging story of the universe, our solar system, the evolution of life on Earth, and the history of science. That initial broadcast was seen by an estimated audience of 150 million people, which in 1980 was 3% of the global population. Now, compare that to the 19.3 million who watched the final of Game of Thrones. In many broadcasts and releases on videotape, Laserdisc and DVD, millions more people have seen Cosmos in the 40 years since. For some species, life has evolved intelligence and some degree of consciousness. That consciousness enables us humans to contemplate our origins. We can appreciate those first steps our ancestors took to chart the heavens. This course leads to cosmic citizenship. Now, this theme is supported in the television series Cosmos by a piece written by J.S. Bach and retitled and played by Isaiah Tomita as The Sea Named Solaris.
Thank you.
In one of the 13 episodes of the series Cosmos, Carl Sagan takes up the theme of the harmony of nature. He notes that the same laws of nature determine the fall of an apple on Earth, the flight of an interplanetary spacecraft, and the stately dance of galaxies billions of light years distant. The same chemical elements, the same laws of quantum mechanics, apply everywhere in the cosmos. These regularities are described by a mathematics as elegant and precise as a partita for solo violin, as written by J.S. Bach and played by Arthur Gromyer. In episode 8 of Cosmos, Carl Sagan discusses ancient Greek history and how they nearly adopted the scientific method, but failed to do so. He imagines an alternate history in which the Ionian Greeks did pursue science 2,500 years ago. Perhaps today we would already have interstellar spaceships.
In order to affect the future profoundly, a time traveler would have to pick and choose. He'd probably have to intervene in a number of events which are very carefully selected so he could change the weave of history. It's a lovely fantasy to explore those other worlds that never were.
If you had H.G. Wells's time machine, maybe you could understand how history really works. If an apparently pivotal person had never lived, Paul the Apostle, or Peter the Great, or Pythagoras, how different would the world really be?
What if the scientific tradition of the ancient Ionian Greeks had prospered and flourished? It would have required many social factors of the time to have been different, including the common feeling that slavery was right and natural. But what if that light that had dawned on the Eastern Mediterranean some 2,500 years ago had not flickered out? What if the scientific method and experiment had been vigorously pursued 2,000 years before the Industrial Revolution, our Industrial Revolution? What if the power of this new mode of thought, the scientific method, had been generally appreciated? I think we might have saved 10 or 20 centuries. Perhaps the contributions that Leonardo made would have been made 1,000 years earlier, and the contributions of Einstein 500 years ago. Not that it would have been those people who would have made those contributions, because they live only in our timeline. If the Ionians had won, we might by now, I think, be going to the stars. We might at this moment have the first survey ships returning with astonishing results from Alpha Centauri and Barnard Star, Sirius and Tau Ceti. There would now be great fleets of interstellar transports being constructed in Earth orbit. Small unmanned survey ships, liners for immigrants, perhaps. Great trading ships to ply the spaces between the stars. On all these ships, there would be symbols and inscriptions on the sides. The inscriptions, if we look closely, would be written in Greek. The symbol, perhaps, would be the dodecahedron. And the inscription on the sides of the ships to the stars, something like Starship Theodorus of the planet Earth.
If you were a really ambitious time traveler, you might not dally with human history or even pause to examine the evolution of life on Earth. Instead, you would journey back to witness the origin of our solar system from the gas and dust between the stars.
During this sequence, Carl was seated in the time machine that had been built for the George Pell motion picture based on the H.G. Wells story. When Carl Sagan turned his thoughts to the theme of exploration, he noted that we humans are an exploratory species. The first planet we explored, naturally, was our own. He saw the great sailing ships of the past as metaphors for later expeditions of discovery across the sea of space. Alan Hovhaness' 19th Symphony was played by the Sevan Philharmonic, and it was chosen to illustrate this theme.
Thank you.
Other works by Alan Hovhaness were frequently used, appearing in at least 8 of the 13 episodes of Cosmos.
From Sandringham to South Yarra, you're listening to Southern FM.
This is the Space Show, celebrating the 40th anniversary of the television series Cosmos. The adult generation alive in 1980 was one that had encountered phenomena far more exotic than any treasures brought back from distant lands on Earth. Think black holes, which are gravitational whirlpools where light is trapped. Think pulsars spinning 30 times a second, like cosmic lighthouses. Think dark clouds of interstellar gas and dust, Sargasso seas of organic matter where stars are born. Ponder these wonders as we listen to Larry Fast playing Synergy's Legacy, as heard in Episode 9.
Started. We have ignition 210. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff and it's lighting up the area.
The first ships to sail the seas of space have been robot emissaries. They were designed to reconnoiter the nearby planets. Later came Voyagers 1 and 2. They will sail on, outward bound from our solar system and indestructible in the vacuum of space. Perhaps as indestructible as the Swiss Romans recording of Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Russian Easter Festival Overture.
Thank you.
Carl Sagan was particularly concerned that we might destroy ourselves by, for example, nuclear war. He considered that if we do not destroy ourselves, future generations will one day make planetfall on some as yet unimaginably different world. He shows one such with a nighttime view of an entire galaxy rising with multicolored nebulae in the sky. Perhaps these future generations will still be listening to Toru Takemitsu's Inside the Heart of the Universe. In the television series Cosmos, Carl Sagan raised the prospect of cataclysms affecting us. He noted that from our studies of other planets, we derive a renewed sense of appreciation for the Earth. He said that through the short-sighted misuse of our technologies and by the stockpiling of nuclear weapons, we risk destroying our civilization. 40 years ago, in 1980, the idea of human-caused climate change was a nascent one, and Sagan did not discuss it. The music Sagan associated with cataclysms was Roy Buchan's Fly Nightbird. Carl Sagan reminded us there is no refuge from change in the cosmos. The colossal explosions of supernovae are stars that tear themselves to shreds. They are both a death throe and a birth pang. The star and any nearby planets are destroyed. But heavy elements are made in the explosion. Scattered through space, these heavy elements are drawn by gravity to become the building blocks of new worlds and possibly new life. The clouds of gas in a supernova remnant are the death shrouds of stars. They are also the swaddling clothes of further cosmic evolution. To background this concept, Vangelis's Beaubourg, Part 2, was used. Beaubourg also pops up multiple times in the penultimate episode when Sagan discusses his Encyclopedia Galactica. One of the reasons for the phenomenal popularity of the television series Cosmos was the way Carl Sagan pointed out that the mysteries of the universe are limitless. He used a cosmic calendar to impress us with the vastness of time and how humans occupied only a tiny dot on this calendar. Sagan strode across this calendar to arrive at this dot. Only in the last few moments of cosmic time have we begun to learn how to solve the mysteries of the universe. He opined, "We have a choice. We can use our new knowledge to send our spacecraft to the planets and the stars in the pursuit of knowledge, or we can use it to end our tenure on this world." Bring in the London Symphony Orchestra to play Igor Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring.
We'll be right back.
Some of the music from Cosmos, which aired 40 years ago. Now, we're going to have part three of that, maybe next week or maybe the week after, depending on how OSIRIS-REx and other things goes. And in that, we'll have a recording that I made of Carl Sagan. And, yes, it's not my own interview, but it's an interview in which I was involved. And so we'll have that on next week's show, as well as some more of the music from the television series Cosmos.